Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good. Not as good as me. Tell me you don't look as good as me, but you still look good. Well, today we are so excited. We're going to be bringing to a conclusion of our series we've been doing over the last 10 weeks. We've been speaking on the thought of our vision statement, looking at that and what it entails. You know, we have most churches have a vision statement or a mission statement. Some have a purpose statement. All three are just right there arm in arm. It doesn't really make a difference what you call it. But what is God calling you to be as a church? And after much time and prayer and seeking the direction that what do you, God, really want Destiny Church to focus on, I really feel that this is really where the Lord wants us. And we're talking about that Destiny Church exists to teach people to passionately love God. That's what we're doing. To teach people to passionately love God, to genuinely love people, and to train others to do the same. And so we believe that this is the great commandment that comes right out of the great commandment which Jesus was talking about when he was asked in Mark chapter 12. Bring that up. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing we can do? He responded by saying, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, there is no commandments that are greater than these. And we know this, that we've been talking about if we were to sit on a stool that only had three legs, it wouldn't be stable. And the same is right in our life, that as we learn to love the Lord with all these areas, this is how we properly bring balance to our life. How do you want to have stability in your Christian walk is that you want to have a square balance. And this is really balanced. If you can love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, then you're going to bring balance to your life. And what's going to happen is if you can love the Lord like that, then the rest of the things are going to fall in line. All the other things that you need to do are going to happen because you're going to want to please Him. You're going to want to do the right thing. You're going to want to follow His Holy Spirit's direction in your life. And so if we can concentrate on doing the main thing, keeping the main thing, the other things will begin to fall into line. And so we want to have this love for God. It's a passion. We want to be passionately loving the Lord. At the same time, we will know that God has called us to have a love for each other, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is a very important part of the key, not just to love God, but we're also called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so today, we're going to conclude the series. We're going to be talking about this thought of how to build a bridge to unbelievers. How to build a bridge to unbelievers. The most wonderful truth in all the world, the most amazing truth in all the world, is that God wants to have a relationship with me and you. Isn't that an awesome thing to think about? That God wants to have a personal relationship with you and I. That is the reason we were created, was to have that personal relationship with God. And today we know this, that God is wanting and longing, that God made us to love. We are the object of His affection. Scripture teaches us that we are the object of God's love. He is longing, and we were created not just for Him to have an ant farm in the sky and look at it and say, what a nice pet. But He made us as the object of His children, the object of His affection. He made us to love. Romans 5:11 says, now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. So if I would summarize the Bible in one word, if I could summarize the Bible in one word, if I could summarize Christianity in one word, it would be not religion, but it would be relationship. That God has designed this Christian walk to be a relationship with Him, that He puts the focus on relationships. And look what He says, even this scripture, even we looked at a while ago in Mark chapter 12, it talks about relationship. He says, this is the greatest thing you can do, is you love God with all these things, and then you love your neighbor. That is relationship. He is saying that this is the most important thing. The Bible is about relationship with God, that He calls us friend, and that we are learning to have a daily walk with Him. That's a daily walk. It's not a Sunday walk. It's not a when I'm in trouble walk, but it's a daily walk that God is wanting for you and I to design. He designed that you and I would have fellowship with Him every day, that you and I would learn to praise Him not just on Sunday, but on Monday, And on Tuesday, when you get up, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Wednesday, that every day that our heart would sing a praise to the Lord, that every day our heart would communicate with God, and that our prayers and our thoughts would be toward Him. What do you want me to do today, God? What is your will for my life? God, I want to praise you. I want to thank you. It's this relationship that God is wanting you and I to have. It was never meant to be a religious thing that we only did once a week, but it's a relationship. And so Christianity is all about relationship. Life in essential is about relationship, isn't it? The most important thing in your life is not money, it's not status, it's not success, pleasure, or fame. The most important thing in your life, besides God, you know what it is? It's people. That's the most important thing in your life. It's people. It's relationships. We're only as valuable as relationships that we have. That's what's going to bring satisfaction, your relationship in your family, your relationship with your children, your relationship with other people, your relationships. That is what life is about. That's what it comes down to. And we know this, no good relationship happens accidentally. It's intentional. If you're going to have a good relationship, it's got to be intentional. It doesn't just accidentally happen. We just accidentally have a good relationship. No, it's intentional. If you're going to have a good marriage, it's intentional. If you're going to have a good relationship with your children, it's intentional. If you're going to have a good working relationship with people at your work, it's intentional. That you intentionally plan to do this. You intentionally say, I'm going to have these relationships. They just don't accidentally happen. And so you have to intentionally say, I'm going to have and build good relationships in my life. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18. God has restored our relationship. That's between God and us, okay? God has restored our relationship with Him through Christ. And He is giving us this ministry of restoring relationships. Now, how many can understand what us means? Do I need to get the Greek dictionary out for this one? I think we can all understand what this us means here. He didn't say God has restored our relationship with Him through Christ, and He has given pastors this ministry of restoring relationships. He didn't give the evangelists. He didn't give the prophets. He didn't give the teachers. He said He's given us. That's all of us. No matter where you're at, if you're a Christian, God has given you and I this responsibility of restoring relationships. Wow. So you've been called to restore. What an awesome task that you've been called to be a restorer. You know that we know this, that man once had an even relationship, that we were on the same place in the garden. But through sin, we separated ourselves from God. And God built the bridge through His cross. If we could have an illustration of the cross laying down here today, that would bridge the gap. Through the cross, we can cross back over and have that relationship the way it should be with God. And it's through the cross that we cross back over. The cross, cross back over. You get it there. Through the cross, we cross back over to the right relationship with God. And as I cross back over, my responsibility now is not only to have a relationship with God, that He calls me friend, but now my responsibility is this, that I am called to restore you to help you cross this bridge as well. If somebody else has not crossed this bridge, it's my responsibility to help restore. So that's the bottom line, is this is the most important thing that we can do as a church, is that we love God, that we cross over ourselves, that we build this relationship of loving God, and in return, we turn around and we help other people cross over as well. And we got to help build that bridge to get people to cross over, to get to the right standing and right relationship with God. That's our responsibility. That's it. And if we will concentrate, not on, you know, we can get sidetracked with so many things in the church world. We can have 1,000 ministries going on. We can have 1,000 things happening. And they can all be good on the surface and in intention. But if we are missing this basic element of Christianity as our primary focus, we are failing. Let me say again, if we are missing this as our basic element of primary focus as Christians, we are failing. And so that's why we have made this our passion. That's why we have made this our focus. Like, we're going to focus on crossing that bridge, getting to know the Lord passionately, then turning around and helping build a bridge to other people, loving others. Hey, don't stay there. Cross over. So how do we do that? How do we build a bridge? How do we build this bridge to Jesus? Well, today we're going to talk about that, how to be a bridge builder. How do you build that bridge? Let me be very practical and give you some ways that you can help build that bridge to others. First of all, you've got to be proactive. You got to take the initiative by building friendships with people. Look what Luke 6:31 says. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't wait for them to make the first move. When you want to build a bridge to people who are unbelievers, who are not Christians, don't wait for them to come to you and ask you questions. You start building the bridge to them. You got to be proactive. Because bottom line is, they're probably wanting that from you, but they're so scared to do it. And so many times, if you'll take that first step and be proactive, you will begin to help them step closer to that bridge. You'll begin to help them to say, you know what? I want to have what you have. I want to know what you know. I want to be different because there's something different about your life. Yeah, we both have the same problems. Yeah, we both have got a lot of things that are stressful, but you handle it different. There's something about a peace about you that when you go through your problems, you have a peace of God. When I go through my problems, I have a nervous breakdown. But when you go through your problems, there's a peace of God about you. I want what you have. I want to learn to love people the way that you love people. I want to learn to be able to walk the way you do. There's something about that. So when you be proactive, we are helping build the bridge. Take the first move. Build a friendship. People don't want to be used. But you know what? They don't want to be con, but they want a genuine relationship. You got to go the second mile and show that you can earn their trust by establishing relationships. I saw a bumper sticker one time. Of course, you've seen this, I'm sure. It says, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Right. We've all seen that bumper sticker. But I think we ought to make one. I'm not really a bumper sticker guy, but, you know, bumper sticker, T-shirt, maybe a better thing. Friends don't let friends go to hell. Maybe that's a better one. How many think that's an important one? Yeah. Friends don't let friends go to hell. Friends don't let friends miss heaven. Because that's a responsibility. If we're really a true friend, I want to make sure that I can do everything in my power to let them know that God loves them and there's a different way. And so I got to start building that bridge. That's my responsibility. God specifically puts people in our life and he puts them there once you're a believer so you can tell them, so you can invite them to church, so you can tell them about what God has done in your life to change you. Share your testimony with people. Be proactive. Number two, refuse to wear a mask. When it comes to building this bridge, you got to refuse to wear a mask. We got to learn to take off that mask and be real. Look what 2 Corinthians 1:12 says. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have been honest and sincere in all of our dealings, that we are called to be honest and sincere. And so when you're crossing over that bridge and you're trying to build that bridge, the worst thing you can do is act like you have it all together. Okay? You got to learn to take off that mask and be real with people. I don't want to shock you, but can I tell you something? Really, I don't want to shock you, but can I tell you something? This is really heart to heart. I want to tell you a secret, okay? Everyone in this room, we already know that you're not perfect. We already know that you ain't got it together. None of us are perfect, and none of us have it together. So let's take off the mask and quit acting like we're super Christian here and super humans here, and we don't have problems. Because when it comes to building that bridge, people want to see that you can relate to them. People want to see that you understand what they're going through. And that you're not just some person up there saying it's all going to be just, you know, a bed of roses, you know, cross over. There's no problems on this side. No, there's problems when I cross over, but the difference is I can face my problems with joy. I can face my problems with faith. I can face my problems knowing that it's all going to work out in the end because my trust is in the Lord. And so there's a difference in the way I face my problems, but we all have problems. And so when it comes to building the bridge to unbelievers, I've got to take off my mask and let them know, you know what? I make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. Sometimes I say words maybe I shouldn't say. And there's things that happen in my life, and I've got to take it off and say, you know what? I'm still human. I'm still making mistakes. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But I've crossed that bridge, and you can cross it also. We've got to learn to take off our mask. They already know we're not perfect. And so when we do that, it just shows them that God is working in our life. When someone can be honest and say, Pastor, wow, I'm struggling, and I just got to be honest and tell you what I'm like, wow, great, because I see maturity. Because a mature person can say, I don't got it all figured out. A mature person can say, I don't have all the answers. A mature person can say, I mess up, and sometimes I mess up a lot. And that's okay, because His grace is bigger than our mess up. His grace is bigger than my sin. And when I go to Him, when I cross that bridge, His grace covers a what? A multitude. Remember me talking about that? A multitude of sin. Number three, we got to identify common ground. When you're building that bridge to the unbeliever, we're trying to fulfill the great command that God has told us about building relationships. We've got to identify common ground. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do when it comes to building relationships with an unbeliever. Because when they see you, they see someone who's a Christian lifestyle, and if they don't have that, they feel like you have nothing in common. Well, you just can't relate to me. We don't have the same thing in common. You're giving your money to the church. You're going Sunday mornings in church, and I'm out doing this. This is my focus. And so you can't relate to me. And so it's important as you are reaching unbelievers with this responsibility that we have that we learn to reach common ground. It's a big important thing because we all have it. We all have common ground somewhere. But as a Christian, it's my job to dig it up, find it out. What is the common ground that's going to help us connect? Look what 1 Corinthians 9 says. Whatever a person is like, I try to find what? Common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Wow, this is even a scripture thing that we're called to find common ground with other people. So what is it? What is it that you find common ground in? And for all of us, it's different. For me right now at this stage of my life, it's easy to find common ground with people who have children and they're playing ball every night at the ball field. I spend a lot of time at the ball field with kids who are playing ball, and I'm coaching teams, or I'm coaching basketball or football or or baseball, whatever is going on. And it's a lot of things out there. I'm out there a lot. So my common ground is we both have kids who are playing ball, you know. And so it's a very big common ground. So I'm able to share a lot right now through that time. I have somebody, maybe I told you the story last week. I had someone just last week who said, for the first time, he figured I was a pastor. And he put two and two together. He's like, oh, I didn't know he's a pastor. I'm so sorry. I said some words I shouldn't have said. You know, I didn't know he was a pastor. And I never tell him that because I want to build that bridge. And now he respects me as a pastor because I didn't sit over there every time he said the word he shouldn't say or he did something he shouldn't have done. I went over to saying, hey, dude, I'm a pastor. How dare you talk that way in my presence? Don't you know God's going to strike you? I didn't say those things. No, I concentrated on the common ground. I let the joy of God overflow my life to the point where they always find me. They want to come and stand by me at the ball game because they know that I'm a positive person and they know I have something good to say. And then finally, they figure it out. Well, you're a pastor? Where's your church at? I want to come to your church. I could come to that kind of church. I bet I could receive from a pastor like that. You understand me. You don't judge me. And so it's important that we build those bridges on common ground. What is it? You know, is it athletics? Is it a common book? Maybe it's a problem. Maybe you know somebody who's having a problem and you've went through that same problem with your children. And you can talk to them about, you know what? I've been through the same thing. This is some of the things that I did to help. Here's a book that I read that really gave me a lot of insight. Here's a sermon that I listened to that really helped out. What is the common ground? Finding out someone who's having problems in their marriage. You can say, you know what? We had the same problem in our marriage before. What can we do? What's happening? And so today we learned to find the common ground. Find the common ground. What is the common ground? People around you. It's important that we find this common ground. You know what I found out that doing a survey? The New York City phone company did a survey, and they were listening and finding out conversations. You know what they said the most used word in phone conversations were? It's the word I. That's the most used word in phone conversations. I did this. I do that. I want that. I. We're kind of self-centered, aren't we? So I guarantee you want to find common ground with somebody. If you don't know common ground, just let them talk about themselves. Just say, hey, what is it that makes you tick, man? What's your life like? Find out what the I is. Let them say, well, I do this and I do that. All of a sudden, you're your best friend. And all you're doing is listening to them talk about themselves. But you have found common ground. Their common ground is I for them. And many times, that's the way it is. You got to Find that place of building that bridge of commonality. Find a place. God has given every one of us here. I know we all like to eat, don't we? Look around. We all like to eat. We can find common ground on the backyard grill. We can find common ground. Many places. It's there. Find it. Find it. We all eat. We all like food. Find the common ground with the people around you. Number four, we've got to demonstrate God's love. Demonstrate God's love. In order to build the bridge to people, we have to demonstrate God's love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. It says, live a life filled with the love for others, following the example of Christ. Our goal is to be like Jesus, and he served in love, and we have to do that as well. 1 John 3:17 is one of my favorite verses when it talks about this. Look what it says. Let's just stop saying we love people. I'm like, amen to that. Can we just do that? Can we just stop as a church saying we love people? Let's stop saying we love people and let us really love them and show it by our actions. Amen. Enough said. Let's go home right now. I mean, right there. That's the, some of you, hallelujah. Yeah, you felt that right there. Enough said. I mean, great. Let's stop saying it, that we love people, and let our actions follow suit. How many know actions are louder than words? I guarantee how many of us have missed opportunity after opportunity to show love to somebody with our actions, and we blew it off, and we missed it. And you knew you could have done it. They had something going on, a crisis in their life, a situation happening where you could have stepped in and show the love of God. I've got a neighbor that, I've got two neighbors on each side of me. And so, just like many of you, and I have one neighbor, but man, we get along great. You know, I mean, it's you know, we just have a great relationship. And I have another neighbor, it's a challenge. I mean, what I'm talking about. You ever have one of those neighbors, a challenge? I have another neighbor, it's kind of a challenge. And this person always seems to push my buttons, you know, whether I'm parking on their edge of the property or, you know, something blows over into their yard or whatever it is, you know, there's always something. I remember one time I was cleaning out a small flower bed. I mean, just I had a very, very small stack of leaves I was cleaning out. And so I just, instead of bagging them up, I went ahead and just burned them off. It took about 3 minutes to burn them off, you know, just lit there. It didn't even catch a flame. It just kind of, like a fuse, just kind of went through there. And this person called the fire department on me, you know, and they showed up and they're like, the guy was so sorry. He goes, by law, he goes, I have to give you a ticket because you didn't have a permit for this fire. He goes, and I would never do this. He goes, but someone called it in. And I won't tell you who it is. It's the lie. What he's doing, he's rolling his eyes at my neighbor's house. But this person called it in. Ugh, you know, you just really, and I had to pay that fine. I just, you know. And so, you know, you ever have one of those neighbors? You know what I'm talking about. And so, this last winter when we had the ice storm, and we had the big ice storm, not the last winter, the winter before last, we had the big ice storm, and the branches broke down, and part of my branches fell off into the yard, and I remember I was going over to cleaning them up, and they wasn't home, so I cleaned up my few branches, and then as I looked across the yard was just full of branches that were off, and so I decided I was going to go ahead and just clean up their whole yard for them, and so I cleaned up the whole yard for them, worked the rest of the evening, spent a couple of hours in their backyard helping them get their stuff done. They wasn't even home. Just did it, put it out there. Didn't tell them I did it. Didn't go back and ask for anything. But you know what? I haven't had a problem with them since. They haven't caused me any problems since. And they haven't done anything. I don't see them a lot, but you know, they seem to always find a way to say something. I haven't had any problems since because love in action speaks louder than words. Someone the other day would tell me the same story, how they had a tree fall down and someone came by and cut it up for them. Instead of them spending $1,500 to have this tree cut up and paw off the property, someone else came by and did it for them as an act of love. I mean, love speaks louder than words. We've passed up opportunity after opportunity to put our action. Don't just say you love people. Do it. Do it. Somebody's hurting. Don't come, pastor. This so-and-so is hurting, and I got a friend who don't have very many groceries, and we need to do something for them. Do it. Open up your cabinet and give them something. Give them your groceries. Don't come expecting the church to do the work of the ministry. We're called to do it. I am. You are. Show love in action. You think it's going to mean more to them that the church reaches out and does it? Or if they bring it personally and say, this is from me. It's going to mean personal from you. That's how you show love in action. We're showing God's love in action. So how do we do that? Everybody has their needs. And so how do we show love in action? First, everybody needs acceptance. It's not in your overhead, so write this down. Everybody needs acceptance. Accept people just as they are. Don't try to clean them up first. Well, you know what? We can be friends if you stop doing this and don't do this and don't do that. No, you love them. We are called to be fishers of men. How many know the fish sometimes can stink? Yeah. You ever try to clean fish? It's one of the first things my dad made me do when he took me fishing, man. He made me help him clean those stinking fish, man. It was nasty and stunk. But how many know that we're not called as Christians to clean fish? We're called to catch fish, and we're going to let God clean them in his timetable. We'll let God do what he wants to do in our life. And so we've got to learn to show acceptance to people. This is how we build a bridge. Jesus Christ accepted everybody. Now, let me tell you something. There's a difference between acceptance and approval. He didn't approve of a lot of things, but he accepted people. He hung out with the prostitutes. He hung out with the thieves. He hung out with people who were sinners. Matter of fact, he was called the friend of the sinners. He was called friend of the sinners. Jesus hung out with these people. He wasn't worried about his reputation. He was worried about showing love in action. And they always changed through his action. Through his love, they always ended up changing. But he didn't try to change them first. Hey, you say this prayer, Zacchaeus, and then I'll come to your house. Zacchaeus, you tell everybody you forgive him right now, and then I'll come to your house. No, he went to his house first. While he was still a thief, while he was still running that mafia ring, man. Then he went to his house. We got to accept people where they're at. We don't have to approve of their lifestyle, but we accept them, knowing that God loves them. And then we got to learn to affirm them. We got to learn to show love in action by affirming them. Everybody needs emotional support. We never outgrowing needing affirmation in our life. Everybody needs this affirming affirmation, just in different ways. Some need it emotionally. Some need it financially. Some physically. Some people have, everybody's having a rough time, okay? Everybody has a rough time. People need affirmation. People need affirming. Build a bridge by affirming people, supporting them with a genuine love. How do we show love in action? By everybody needs practical love. It's just practical. Do practical things to show it. That's how you reach people, is by doing practical things to show the love of God to their life. Look what the Bible says about love. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Because we loved you, we were happy to share not only God's good news with you, but even our own lives. Wow. Because we loved you, we were happy not only to share the gospel through teaching, but now even share our own lives with you. It's a practical thing of showing God's love, building the bridge. 5, give credence to their feelings and their fears. Listen, people have true fears about coming to God. If you're not a Christian, a lot of times they have a stereotype in their mind, and people have true fears about serving God. Come on, not like you never had any of those fears yourself. I remember growing up and thinking, man, if I ever get God everything, I'll never have any fun in my life. You know, but being a Christian means I got to talk funny. I got to dress like I'm on TBN, and I got to do this, and, you know, this whole thing. I didn't want to be a Christian because it didn't appeal to me, you know. And so it wasn't until I realized that that was nothing to do with being a Christian. And at the same point, those are genuine fears that people have. And so you got to respect those. When you're building a bridge, people are fearful, and you respect those fears. There's fears, whatever it is, the fear that I may not be good enough, or fear that God could really love me. The fear, we got to be considerate of their fears. When you got a little egg with a chicken inside of it, baby chicken, what's the best way to get that chicken out of the egg? Is to take a hammer and crack it over there? Crack that shell off? No, you probably killed the chicken, wouldn't you? Yeah, you get the chicken out, but you probably killed the chicken. What's the best way? You'll take that egg and put it in a warmer place, and let it hatch on its own safely. That's the same way when it comes to building a bridge with people. We got to not crack them over the head with a hammer to get a point across, but we surround them with the warmth of God's love. We love them. We love them until they birth out of that shell and cross over that bridge. It's important. We got to surround them with God's love. And the last thing here, we got to expect God to use you. Expect God to use you. I need to expect God to use me. If I say, if I get serious about building bridges to unbelievers, I don't know what to say. That's a very legitimate thing that many people here, you know we're supposed to, and we know where God has called us to do that, but I'm so nervous. See, anyone get nervous? I tell you what, I deal with people all the time. You know, I still get nervous many times. It's a natural thing when you are trying to build a bridge with somebody you don't know that well. And so it's a very natural thing to be nervous. Now, there's a few people, you don't make a difference. You never meet a stranger. You can talk to anybody. It don't make a difference. God bless you, okay? But the majority of people, we're not like that, John Black. We're not like that. John can talk to anybody. He's a good guy. He'll make a difference. Whether it's a student at the high school or someone down at the post office. He's good about talking to everybody. But not everybody has that natural thing of wanting to talk to people. And so you got to know that, expect God to use you. When it comes to building this bridge, I have faith that God's going to use me. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, that's great. You don't need to know what to say because look what the scripture teaches us. This is a promise. Matthew 10:19. Jesus told his disciples, he said, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And I can tell you, I have faced this so many times in my life that when I took the initial step to share about God with somebody, that I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what I was going to say. But in that conversation, the Holy Spirit would drop something for me to say. And I would say that. You ever done that where you said something and go, man, that was smart. Where'd that come from? You ever had that? I just had a Pastor Gene moment there. I don't know what happened there. I just felt like I was preaching right there. And you felt good about it, didn't you? No, it wasn't you. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And that's what he promised. If he says, if you'll start building that bridge, he says, don't worry about to say. I'll tell you what to say. I'll give you the right things to say. I'll give you the right words to say. I'll tell you how to encourage. I'll tell you how to build this common ground. But our job is to step out on faith and begin to build that bridge. So how do you do that? You got to make yourself available. Say, God, use me. Use me. If you're going to build a bridge to unbelievers, you got to expect God to use you. Expect God to speak through you. Expect God to bring people in your path that you can talk to, that you can love. Expect it. God, I know that this week there's going to be somebody in my path that I need to minister to. God, there's somebody at work this week that needs something from you. God, there's something going on. God, there's something. I got to expect it because that's what God has called me to do. I am called to the ministry of what? Restoring people to God. What are you called to? The ministry of restoring people to God. And if God has called us to that, he will equip us. He will empower us, and he will give you the words to say. And I can tell you this, once you cross that bridge and you help somebody else cross that bridge, you'll never, ever be the same in your life. You can't help but change. You realize, this is why I was created. This is what my purpose in life is. This is what brings fulfillment more than anything else is when I help somebody else reach their destiny in Christ. It will change your life. It will change your purpose. It will change your outlook. Learning to let God. I expect God to use me. In closing today, George Gallup, I think I shared this with you sometime back. George Gallup recently did a survey, and he discovered that 65 million Americans have no church home. 65 million people in America, one of the most evangelized countries in the world. 65 million people in America have no church home. And it says that over half of those people, right at half of those people, when surveyed, that'd be 32.5 million people said, if someone would just ask me, I'd go. As simple as that. There's 32.5 million people waiting just for somebody to ask them to come to church. How many of you are here today because somebody asked you to come? Majority of us are here today because somebody asked us to come. You got to pass it on. Our job is to pass it on. Our job is to build that bridge. Today, I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. As we bring this to a close, the series to a close, next week I'm going to be talking about one prayer. We're joining the One Prayer Movement. So it's a worldwide movement of churches who are saying for the month of June, we're going to come together, we're going to pray, we're going to seek who God is, we're going to give of ourselves. We're going to share the gospel this month. I'm going to be challenging next week to take the month of June and really put it to God, I want to share your love with somebody. I want to put faith into action. I want to put love into action. I'm going to be challenging you to take this message and make it practical in what we do next month. Can't wait to share that with you next week. We'll be talking more about it next week. But this is just taking us right into the next thing that God has for us. Put our love into action to tell someone about God. We are called to build a bridge. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that you was a bridge builder, did you? But you are. You're a restorer. You are a restorer. Ian, you're a restorer. You're called to be a restorer. Debbie, you're called to be a restorer. Darren, you're called to be a restorer. Carla, you're called to be a restorer. Carlos, you're called to be a restorer. Jenny, you're called to be a restorer. That's our job. It's nothing to do with a pastor or called to ministry. No, that's the ministry God has given every one of us. We are called to be restorers. What an awesome thing. What an awesome responsibility. And it's going to happen because you're proactive. It's going to happen. I tell you what, there's no better time than the summertime to use this gift. You're out the ball fields if you got small kids like me all the time. The grill's always going. It's easy to invite somebody over to grill some hamburgers or hot dogs or steaks or whatever you want to do. Easy thing to do, isn't it? Head into the fall. Football season's going to start, Carl. All those guys coming to watch football. It's easy to find common ground with guys, invite them over to watch the game. And let them see what a Christian home is like. Let them know that you honor the Lord. You're at church on Sunday. And then you go into the game. You're doing things. What are you doing? You're showing, finding common ground, restoring people. My heart's prayer today is that we become restorers. Wow, can you imagine the power and impact we'll have in the city? We learn to love God with all of our heart, passionately, and have a genuine love for other people. Can you imagine being the body of Christ the right way? Wow, that's a good concept there, isn't it? I want to do that. Do you want to do that? I think you do. Today, I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about restoring a right relationship, a bridge to God, I will not embarrass you in any way. But I think that's okay. Everybody's looking around, it's okay. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I just want to raise my hand and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I want to make sure that heaven's my home. I want to cross that bridge today. It's like so many of us have crossed it. Here today, say, I want to cross that bridge through the cross of Jesus. And accept Jesus Christ. If you're here today, can you raise your hands? That's me. I won't embarrass you in any way, but I want to give you that opportunity. Make sure that you have that chance. Can you raise it high where I can see that? Guys, I want to make sure everybody has a chance today. Second question I have for you is this. You say, Pastor, I'm here. And I want God to use me to be a restorer. If you want to take that challenge today, say, Pastor, that's going to be me. I'm going to take the challenge to be a restorer. Can you raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, I'm going to be a restorer. Thanks, guys. What an impact we can have on a city, on a region, on a four-state area. What an impact we can make through loving people with our actions, not just our words. Being a restorer. Father, I love you today. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who built the bridge for us that we could cross over and have right relationship with you. We so much thank you, God. We can never say thanks enough for that bridge that was built for us. And as we cross that bridge today, and as we cross that bridge at past times in our life, I pray that we will turn around now and help other people cross the same bridge. Help us to take on the responsibility that we are called to be restorers of people to right relationship with God our Father. That's what I'm called to do, is to help restore. Just help me to find common ground. Help me put love in action. Help me to do these things that will help build this bridge. That we can see people, our friends, our family, come to know you. Lord, your heart's desire is none but perish, but all would have eternal life with you. And God, we don't want our friends to miss out, God. So it's our responsibility to share. We can't make them accept, but God, we can share your love. We can't invite them to church. We can't tell them that you love them and show it through our actions. And Father, today we thank you. Lord, I pray for every person who raised their hands today. May you allow us, Lord, to cement this in our heart through your Holy Spirit, that God, we will be people who help restore relationships with you. No greater call, no greater ministry. And we accept it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck, shake a hand before you leave today. You guys have a great week.